Hello, this is Irene Bullard. I'll be reading the pantograph, dated Tuesday, July 16th, 2019. Let's begin on the front page. Keep looking up. McLean County amateur astronomers remember Apollo 11. During the Apollo era, Americans looked up more than they do today, at the stars, the planets, the moon, and their heroes. And their heroes were the astronauts. They captured your imagination, said Sharon McDonald, 74, of Carlock. While the Apollo astronauts and their quest to land on the moon and return safely captured the imagination of Americans, the Apollo astronauts also were heroes because Americans in the 1960s believed they knew the astronauts. These were people we grew up with, McDonald said. I grew up in Ohio, 20 miles from the hometown of Neil Armstrong, said Carl Wenning, 66, of Normal. It was almost like the hometown boy going to the moon. McDonald, Wenning, and Bob Finnegan, 77, of Lexington, all members of Twin City Amateur Astronomers, gathered during a recent evening at the Prairie Sky Observatory at Sugar Grove Nature Center, about 20 minutes southwest of Bloomington, to share their thoughts on the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing. The space race between the United States and the Soviet Union was happening in the context of the Cold War, McDonald said. The Apollo program was a constant part of our lives. As the Apollo 11 mission to the moon began, Americans experienced excitement, wonder, pride, and worry, she said. Always in the back of our minds was Apollo 1, she said, referring to the Apollo 1 fire that killed 3 astronauts. McDonald, who taught history at the Illinois State University, was attending a seminar with her husband in New York City and remembers watching the moon landing with nervous excitement on a rented black and white television in a student apartment complex. Finnegan watched on a television from a street in Marseille, France. Being an American standing in Marseille, it was a tremendous event, Finnegan said. Man had stared at the moon for thousands of years, and we walked on it. For Wenning, then 16, watching Armstrong walk on the moon was more personal. I remember thinking, a fellow Ohioan has been the first person to walk on the surface of the moon, Wenning recalled. I went outside and stared at the moon and thought, there are the footprints of a man on the moon. It was a triumph, Wenning continued. Americans had won the space race. It solidified my desire to be involved in astronomy, said Wenning, whose career in astronomy included being director of the ISU Planetarium from 1978 to 2001. For McDonald and Finnegan, Apollo 11 was a part of a lifelong interest in astronomy. I've always been interested in astronomy, Finnegan said. He was an electronic camera repairman in the Air Force, worked for General Electric before running Finnegan's video in Bloomington, and bought his first 14-inch telescope in 1967. We need to go back to the moon, Finnegan said. McDonald and Wenning agreed. We benefited so much from the space program of the 1960s and early 70s, Wenning said. Electronics and global communication are among areas that grew thanks to the space program, he said. While conceding that returning to the moon would cost billions of dollars, Wenning said that for every dollar invested in the Apollo program, $16 was generated in American jobs. That's a tremendous return, Wenning said, and we had something to show for it. It got us to the moon. We need to get back to the moon and learn what it takes to live in space before we send human beings further into space, McDonald said. We need a long stay on the moon, and we need to gain the knowledge to live in that environment, and we need time for our technology to catch up with our ambitions before we go to Mars. Planning missions and building a settlement on the moon would have benefits beyond learning what it takes to live there. I hope we don't lose that sense of adventure, that sense, that desire to learn more, to explore, McDonald said. We can't afford not to go to the moon, Wenning said. It would provide jobs and inspiration. Those are things that we need as a society. We can't ever lose that sense of wonder, Huaning said. We need to keep looking up. Tesla plans facility in BN. The Twin Cities could be home to Tesla's first Illinois location outside Chicagoland. The electric car giant plans to open a service center at 420 Olympia Drive in Bloomington's Tawanda Barnes Business Park, according to city documents. The company is requesting a special use permit to allow for the sales and service repair of Tesla electric vehicles, wrote city planner Katie Simpson in a report. Staff recommends that the Zoning Board of Appeals provide Bloomington City Council with a positive recommendation. Tesla plans to use a 1.3-acre site with a warehouse space that once housed Twin City Drywall, Da Vinci Floor Covering, and later a drywall company. Simpson noted the business park already has other auto repair shops, as well as the Ovation 10 movie theater and other retail and professional businesses. Tesla sales and repair are very specialized. Unlike other vehicle sales and repair facilities that serve the public and consequently produce more traffic and additional negative impacts on the neighborhood, the proposed Tesla facility will serve a select clientele with distinct needs, she wrote. Tesla officials could not be reached for comment on the proposal Monday. Other Illinois Tesla locations include 5 store gallery facilities and 5 service centers, all in or near Chicago, according to the company's website. Bloomington Normal has had a Tesla supercharger since 2013 at Normal's Uptown Station parking deck. The company has 19 superchargers in the state, including in Champaign and Effingham, with several more planned. Rivian, the electric car startup that plans to manufacture trucks at the former Mitsubishi plant in West Normal, also plans to open a retail facility locally. Spokesman Michael McHale said Rivian is not affected by Tesla's plan. Rivian believes the future of transportation will be electric, and we welcome any move toward that future, he said. I thought the area seemed kind of small, going into an existing warehouse, but I went to a Tesla sales place in California and it's not that big, he said. It's a testament to the amount of Teslas in the areas that could be serviced by the dealership. There must be enough customers. We're becoming a hub for electric vehicles with Rivian on the other side of town. Today in history. Today is Tuesday, July 16th, the 197th day of 2019. There are 168 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On July 16th, 1969, Apollo 11 blasted off from Cape Kennedy on the first manned mission to the surface of the moon. On this date in 1790, a site along the Potomac River was designated the permanent seat of the United States government. The area became Washington, D.C. In 1945, the United States exploded its first experimental atomic bomb in the desert of Alamogordo, New Mexico. The same day, the heavy cruiser USS Indianapolis left Mare's Island Naval Shipyard in California on a secret mission to deliver atomic bomb components to Tinian Island in the Marianas. In 1957, Marine Corps Major John Glenn set a transcontinental speed record by flying a Vought FAU Crusader jet from California to New York in 3 hours, 23 minutes, and 8.4 seconds. In 1980, former California Governor Ronald Reagan won the Republican presidential nomination at the party's convention in Detroit. Thought for today. Any life, however long and complicated it may be, actually consists of a single moment, the moment when a man knows forever more who he is. And that was written by Argentine author Jorge Luis Borges, 1899 to 1986. How time flies. 100 years ago, July 16th, 1919, Chicago authorities have concluded the drowning of Dottie Chesser, a nurse who used to live in Bloomington. was an accident. Her body was found in Lake Michigan after she failed to return from an afternoon walk, and it was first feared that she had been murdered. 75 years ago in 1944, the summer mosquito menace has hit Bloomington Normal. Just ask anyone who has tried to sit outside and catch a gentle breeze on a hot summer night. Folks are reminded to keep bird baths, lily ponds, and the drain pipes washed out. They are mosquito breeding grounds. 50 years ago in 1969, the Hotel Rogers, once a luxurious city landmark, is about to close. The 12 tenants have been told to find other living quarters by August 1st. Opened in 1926 at East End Grove Streets, the 104-room Rogers is part of the Humphrey Estate. 25 years ago, in 1994, today is a big deal for O'Neill Park. It's the 90th anniversary for one of the West Side's busiest recreation spots. A ceremony and program are scheduled for 5 p.m. The park has a pool and tennis courts, but at one time had a dance pavilion and hosted at least one circus. Today's Flick Fact, true or false? Now America's second largest city and a sprawling area, Los Angeles actually had fewer residents of 100 years ago than Bloomington Normal does today. And the answer is, incredibly, that's true. The 1900 census lists the Los Angeles population at 102,000, or about 30,000 less than today's population of Bloomington Normal, which is 132,600. Town backs bus group. Normal officials are throwing their support behind a working group appointed by Connect Transit's board, despite some public criticism. The Normal City Council unanimously approved a resolution Monday supporting the group of about a dozen community members who will spend the next 6 months studying the Bloomington Normal bus system's needs and resources. Though some have suggested the group's conclusions are already decided. Mark Tiritilli, who lost to Chris Coos in a close 2017 mayoral race, criticized the group during public comment Monday, questioning why the system is spending $53,000 on a facilitator, whether that facilitator is pushing an agenda, and why a group member is a Connect Transit board member's son. He has prejudged the working group and what they are going to do, and I think that's unfair, Coos told reporters after the meeting. Coos said after the meeting that facilitating such a group is difficult and can require an independent consultant with travel expenses. Nonprofit Smart Growth America will provide one for 8 meetings, including several in person, under a deal Connect Transit Board approved last month. Coos also questioned why the working group member Tiritilli asked about Dylan Heil Broad, son of Connect Transit board member Julie Heil, isn't a suitable pick, and the group's members are all unpaid volunteers. He is a person who is not able to drive a car because of a physical disability. He lives independently. He rides the bus. He's a very outspoken and thoughtful man, Coos said of Heil Broad. So I thought he was good. People said they wanted a transit-dependent rider on the group. Council member Karen Smith agreed with Tiritilli on one point, that Connect Transit leadership should reconsider buying new electric buses before the working group has made its recommendations in December or January. Officials plan to put off planned fare hikes until then. Coos noted those buses are funded by a federal grant. Tiritilli also pointed out that the systems board has had an open seat for several months. Coos has declined to fill that seat since John Thomas resigned last fall. We need to really transform the Connect Transit Board, said Tiritilli. We don't need to wait on the working group. In other business, the council approved appointing Luis Figueroa to the town's Human Relations Commission, and Figueroa will serve until at least March 2020. And they approved a $350,000 contract with Lucy Creative, a Lincolnwood-based design agency, to work on the Children's Discovery Museum's Healthy Me exhibit. The museum's nonprofit foundation will reimburse the town for all expenses related to the exhibit. City still delaying new video gambling. The Bloomington City Council isn't ready to lift a moratorium banning the addition of new video gambling machines, but a majority voiced support Monday night for making an exception for the Parkview Inn. Among the council members who want to vote next Monday for an exception for the West Bloomington restaurant was Ward 5 Alderman Joni Painter, who otherwise has advocated continuing the moratorium indefinitely because she objects to the amount of money gambling takes out of the local economy. The Parkview Inn recently reopened after a 2016 fire destroyed its previous building near Miller Park. It had 5 video gambling machines prior to the fire, but the moratorium prevents it from replacing them. It's a very, very good business that most everybody in the neighborhood is very supportive of, so I think they deserve to get their terminals back so they can pay for what they built, said Painter. Painter, who started to talk in February 2018 of banning new video gambling machines, said that she also favors grandfathering in businesses that already have such machines. If the machines are in the establishment already, they become dependent on that money, she added. To yank that away from them just to have a prohibition all of a sudden, I think that would be counterproductive to our local economy. In May, the State Gambling Board reported Bloomington had 52 licensed establishments with a total of 243 machines. Painter, along with Jen Carrillo of Ward 6 and Donna Bolin of Ward 2, will work with the city staff to clarify points and provide ideas for discussion at the council's August 19th work session. I think there needs to be more dialogue, said Tim Jones, owner of Ellsworth-based Midwest Electronics Gaming, a vendor who supplies gambling machines to at least 20 Bloomington and 10 Normal licensed establishments. He attended the meeting but did not address the council. I think there was a lot of good information, but there was a lot of misinformation that was not exactly accurate, Jones said, so it would help to correct the misnomers. This is far more complicated. There are so many moving parts to video gambling, especially given what the state has done, said Mayor Terry Renner after the meeting. A new state law increases the maximum number of gambling machines per establishment from 5 to 6. Based on Monday's discussion, Renner said that he thinks a majority of the council wants to kind of rein in the expansion of the gambling. The idea that we would have a maximum of 6 machines had no traction among the 9 council members and myself, said Renner. Since 2015, Bloomington has been on the Illinois Gaming Board's list of top 10 video gambling cities. I don't want us to be the video gambling capital of downstate Illinois, he said. But there are times when video gambling may make the balance between a business in the black or in the red. Student Achievement Honored. Multicultural event presents awards to 900 BN youths. A Riley Galfie, who will be a 6th grader at Stevenson Elementary School in Bloomington, doesn't hesitate when asked about her favorite subject at school. Lunch, she said with a laugh and a big smile. Her classmate and friend, Naya Silas, quickly agreed. Both were among more than 900 local students honored Monday night at the 28th Annual Multicultural Academic Achievement Recognition Ceremony at Illinois Wesleyan University's Shirk Athletic Center in Bloomington. IWU hosted the event in collaboration with the Neighbor to Neighbor Educational Activity Club. Both Riley and Naya were recognized for making the high honor roll this past year. We got straight A's, Riley said. It was hard. Mary Commons attended with her son, Don Tavian, an honor roll honoree from Bloomington Junior High School, and both agreed that earning such status is difficult. I have to admit I was shocked, Commons said. I was even more shocked, Don Tavian added. Since 1991, students have been recognized with certificates, medals, or trophies for their achievements, said Barbara Sims Malone, founder and organizer of the event, which also is designed to provide networking opportunities for students, their peers, community leaders, and educators. When we started this, we had about 75 kids that we honored, and now it is so well known that it is very exciting for the students, she said. Some of those students that we started with, I have honored their children, and so it has become a family legacy. I have had some of the parents tell me that they still have the award that they received, and that is really special. Sims Malone said part of the reason for honoring the students is the hope that it will carry positive habits forward. A night to recognize our youth is so important, she said. We want to encourage them to stay in school and be the best they can be. By making honor roll, they are also encouraging their brothers, sisters, and friends to do their best so they can be honored as well. The students were greeted and congratulated upon arrival by Acting IWU President Richard Wilson, School Superintendents Barry Riley of Bloomington District 87, and Mark Daniel of McLean County Unit 5, retired Fairview Elementary School Principal James Shaw, and Public Affairs Officer John Furman, and Acting Police Chief Greg Scott, both of the Bloomington Police Department. McLean County Public Defender Carla Barnes was the event's keynote speaker. The power of academic improvement and paying it forward is so important, she said. These students should be proud and thankful. But as future leaders of our community, it is also important to grab someone with them and bring them. You can't help them if you leave them behind. There may be students out there who need help or tutoring, and these students are ones who can help that cause, she said. By helping those students, they will make our world a better place for us all. Blaze damages apartment house. The apartments of three families were damaged by an overnight fire Sunday in Bloomington. No one was injured. Three adults and four children were provided assistance by the American Red Cross. A cause of the fire has not been determined. Eric Davison, a spokesman for the Bloomington Fire Department, said flames were coming from a second-floor window at 319 East Locust Street when firefighters arrived about 10:40 p.m. One tenant was home when the fire was discovered, but he had escaped. The call was upgraded to a box alarm before firefighters arrived based on conditions reported by police, Davison said. A box alarm calls in four fire apparatus, emergency medical service, and an additional ambulance and a truck from Normal Fire Department. Command staff and a fire investigator also are notified. Two units were damaged by fire, and smoke and water extensively damaged the rest of the building. Ecology Action Center named Educator for State Solar Project. The Ecology Action Center is one of 10 nonprofit organizations in Illinois named as a grassroots educator for the first round of Illinois Solar for All, ILSFA. That is a part of Illinois' larger Future Energy Jobs Act, which supports energy efficiency and renewable energy, according to a statement from the center. Solar for All would provide greater access for low-income and environmental justice communities. The center is working with Habitat for Humanity, Western Avenue Community Center, Mid-Central Community Action, West Bloomington Revitalization Project, and the Normal Township to help reach those who are eligible. The center will launch its outreach campaign in August. The Ecology Action Center is hopeful that McLean County can serve as a leader and an example of success for ILSFA program implementation, said Assistant Director Larissa Armstrong. We are excited to continue to educate our local community on ways to reduce energy use, incorporate renewables where possible, and improve individual and community health in the process. Suspect seeks to lower bond. A Bloomington man charged with robbery and two counts of aggravated fleeing from police Friday hopes to have his bond reduced. Thomas B. Lewis, 36, remains in McLean County Jail in lieu of posting $2,000 $535, but intends to ask the court to lower that amount, and indicated in court on Monday that he would be able to post $1,535. Court documents indicate Lewis was involved in a domestic dispute, which started before noon Friday in the 1100 block of Maplewood Drive in Normal. Officers located him, but then he fled the scene. He was taken into custody following a standoff in the 2600 block of Rainbow Avenue in Bloomington. The robbery charge is due to an item of value being taken from the victim's person during the incident, Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner said last week. Lewis is due in court for arraignment on the robbery and aggravated fleeing charges on August the 2nd. Governor calls on residents to report flood damage. Governor J.B. Pritzker's office is urging Illinoisans to report any damages caused by recent flooding to their county's emergency management agencies in order to increase the likelihood of the state qualifying for federal aid. A release from Pritzker's office said, Illinois can qualify for federal assistance if the total flood damage in the state meets or exceeds $19 million. The 36 affected counties include LaSalle, Tazewell, and Woodford. A formal request to the federal government must be submitted by August the 3rd, which is 30 days after the last impacted river fell below major flood stage, the governor's office said. Once the state completes the report, the Federal Emergency Management Agency makes a recommendation to the president, who has the final say as to whether the relief can be granted. While the ultimate decision on our state receiving federal funds lies with Washington, my administration is committed to doing everything in our power to ensure our communities get all resources available to recover, Pritzker, a Democrat, said in a news release. Our state has not received a federal disaster declaration since 2013, and there's no doubt this will be an uphill battle. Emergency managers in each impacted county are assessing damage, including residential, commercial, and governmental expenses. The county agencies will then report that information to the state by the close of business July the 22nd via the Illinois Emergency Management Agency. Some flexibility will be given for counties where floodwaters are still blocking access to homes or roads. The state established a website for flood communications and resources, which can be found at www.illinois.gov/2019floods with a capital F. The site contains a module which allows residents and business owners to submit an initial damage report online. The website then forwards the submission to the appropriate county emergency management agency for follow-up reporting. Acting IEMA Director Alicia Tate-Nadeau said any damage, regardless of whether it is $200 or $20,000, should be reported to the county agencies. Jesse White, keep ICE out of driver's ID photos. Illinois Secretary of State is pursuing legislation to codify the office's long-held policy of not giving federal agencies full access to its database of driver's license photographs as a means to identify someone's legal status, a spokesperson said Monday. That initiative is one Jesse White has employed since 2013, when the state created an avenue for undocumented immigrants to obtain temporary visitor's driver's license. Officials from U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and the FBI reportedly used facial recognition technology to comb through the driver's license identification databases of several states last week. There will be a Wheels Through Time, an historic bike show held at the David Davis Mansion, July the 20th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and it's located at 1000 Monroe Drive, Bloomington. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph. Please stay tuned.